clear example. And then you go on over to Mark 11, to where Monty read at Sunday school. But there was a fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit. And Jesus cursed that fig tree. You know, he cursed it. Nothing happened right then. But some say around 24 hours later, the next day, they came out. Peter seen it. Peter brought it to Jesus' attention and said, "That fig tree that you cursed dried up." And then he went on teaching. He went on Mark 11, 22. He said, "Have faith in God." And then he said, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it." And so he was making an example to the disciples, and we're his disciples. He was making an example to them. Get full of your, have faith in God. We do that through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have the faith of God. If we are born again, the scripture says that every man, somebody say every man, has been given the measure of faith. Every one of us have been given the God kind of faith. But it takes renewing of the mind. Hallelujah. Once we're born again, because we can't with our natural mind. Paul put it this way. He said, the carnal mind is an enemy to God. He said it can't comprehend the things of God. That's why we get born again and then we renew our mind to the Word of God. And we get so that we can perceive in our spirit the Word of God. And we can train our mind to be on God. We can train ourselves to think like God thinks. We can train ourselves for our mind to stay on eternal things, not just on natural things. And when we do that, we're doing what Jesus quoted of Deuteronomy 8:3. God quoted it, but Jesus was quoting it when he was in the wilderness and Satan was trying to tempt him to worship him. He was just trying to get Jesus to worship him. That's what he was trying to get Jesus to do. But Jesus come back with Deuteronomy 8:3. See, Jesus didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and Philippians, and Galatians, and Ephesians, and Revelations, and Hebrew. He didn't have all of those those books, hallelujah. But he had Deuteronomy and Exodus and Isaiah and Jeremiah, and he had Malachi, and he had all of those, hallelujah. And he quoted the word of God to Satan. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live." In other words, he was telling Satan, we're not in our own power. We're not in our own ability. We're not in our own faith. We are in the faith of God. That's why Tricia ain't got no side effects. Hallelujah. We are speaking spirits in this earth. That's how comes sickness. I don't get sick. You shouldn't get sick. And if it does attack you, fight. If it does attack you, whosoever shall say to that mountain, Jesus said. He said, whosoever shall say to that mountain, be moved from hence to hither, and it shall move, hallelujah. You know, now these things are not, they're foreign to some Christians. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people have come here and said, man, y'all are just too radical. I'm like, too radical? We're getting victory. How is that too radical? We're seeing people healed. How is that too radical? Well, you know, you got this, you know, renew your mind. I said, that's what God said. I said, we got that out of your God's Bible. Where he said to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of the mind. We got that from the Apostle Paul. That and all the way back to Joshua 1:8, you know. And I got a hold of that years ago, not because I was listening to mostly, you know, preachers on TV. They're downed a lot, but it costs like the Victory Fund. They having that Victory Fund and Kenneth Copeland Ministries, they give free airtime to all of their 28 preachers that we like to watch, some of us. You know, and they were saying the other night that it costs $24 million a year to pay that TV bill. That they give free to all of, I mean, if you're listening to them on TV, praise God. And you know what? I'm saying that, you know, and I'm thinking in my mind, $24 million. But I don't know how much it costs this church to run. I've never done it over a year, just figured it up, and how much, you know, that it costs to run this ministry, which is just, it's not small, but I mean, it, we do a lot. And you know what? I mean, when I got an $800-something light bill, the first one was $54.17 when we started. And then when I got nearly a $900 light bill, I didn't say, oh my God. Oh God. I brought it to the church and they said, oh, you need to get Alabama Power out to check the meter and blah, 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 you know. And I said, nah, we praise God for a $900 light bill. Praise God for it. Just pray. And everybody's like, you're weird. I'm like, what? I thought we're supposed to praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him in, not just because they cut our bill in half because we got them to whittle the pencil. Well, you know what, praise God? I would go to God just like you need to go to God and tell God, you took on my life, God, and you said you would take care of me and my family. You said that if I would follow you, that if I would put you first, that I would not lose anything. If I'd put you before my family, if I'd put you before my friends, if I'd put you before the flea market, if I'd put you before anything, God, that I would not lack anything, that I would gain 100-fold, and this, see, your mind needs to be renewed to that. It's not, I mean, they told me when I got born again, and I was telling them, well, you know, we need to meditate on the word, and I'd got it out of Joshua 1:8, where God told Joshua, he's fixing to take over for Moses, and God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8 and 9, he said, meditate, oh, there it is, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, how often? He told Joshua, he's telling Joshua, if you'll do this, take the word of God that I gave Moses, and you will meditate on it day and night. You will renew your mind if you meditate on something day and night. You will. You cannot meditate on the word of God and your mind not get renewed. But he told him, he said, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And I was telling somebody back down there, I was about 28 or so, and I'd got on what I'm preaching right now, the Bible. I was a big Bible student, you know. I wanted to know, why do people say what they say? Why, you know, I got to know why I believe what I believe. You know, I gotta know why I believe it. See, what I believe had to be based, and I had to kill a bunch of sacred cows in my early walk with the Lord about God putting sickness on you to teach you something. That's a doctrine of demons in the church. I mean, there ain't nowhere in Scripture where it says that God puts sickness on anybody to teach them. Jesus said, John 15, I believe it is, he said, the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. He's the one that teaches you. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will send you the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you and guide you. He will be with you. He will walk beside you. He will teach you. And so I had to kill that one when I found stuff in the Bible. And then I thought, you know, vengeance, we could take vengeance after we got born again, because I'm like, well, Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but God, you know. And then I read in there, love your enemies, and I shut the Bible. And I thought, oh no, this can't be in the Bible. I mean, there was people I literally hated that I was planning on getting vengeance on somehow, somewhere down the road. It was going to line up and I was going to do it. I had my mind set to do it, but I messed up and got born again. Once you went and I shut that Bible, and I'm like, I can't take this. I just can't take this. See, don't ever let your mind and your intellect, your thinking, make you think that you cannot get in the power of God. God spoke to me. He said, my word is not to destroy you. He said, you embrace my word and my word will set you free. Ain't that what Jesus, I didn't even know what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples. He said, and you then will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And I had come to, see, you come to a crossroads in your finances, I mean, and you got to make a quality decision, a decision based on the word of God. As I'm talking to Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian, you can't walk in the power that I'm talking about. You can renew your mind, but you just got to, revelation will only come through relationship with Jesus, through relationship with God through Jesus. And you know, but when you cross these bridges, you need your mind renewed to the Word of God. You need to have meditated on the Word of God about your marriage, about your finances, about your kids, about your you got everything in this right here that will lead you through a road of victory, not away from trouble necessarily, not away from trials necessarily. This Bible right here will lead you on the front lines against the enemy. We're to prevail against the enemy. We're to take up serpents. We are to preach the gospel to the poor. We are to heal the brokenhearted. We're to lay hands on the sick and see them. We're to prophesy and declare a thing, like Monty brought out in Job. We are to declare ourselves healed and set free. We came against that cancer. That cancer got to dry up. In our sister. I mean, the first round of chemo, she thought she was dying. The side effects to that. We took authority over those side effects. And we told the Lord, we thank you, Father God, you are working with these, with this natural medicine. And she'll have no side. I prayed it the day before. I said, no side effects will she have. And y'all did too. We prayed. But we declared a thing. We declared a thing based on the Word of God, right? No weapons formed against her will prosper. And we declared a thing. You declare yourself healed. You declare yourself strong. You know, don't be like I talked about the four grounds of people in Mark 4. You know, there was wayside people. That's people that hear the gospel and they don't get saved. They don't take the word and get saved. Satan comes immediately, steals the word of God. Well, he can even do that after you're born again, steal the word of God if you let him have it. He'll say, that don't work. That stuff don't work. What? God ain't going to show up for you. He'll do it for them. You know, you got to cast down all those lies. All he's got is a bunch of lies. If he tells you you're no good, you know you are good. If he tells you you ain't going to get healed, you know definitely that's a sign that you're already healed. If he tells you you ain't going to make it in your marriage, that is him telling you you are. And he wants you to believe you ain't. He wants to believe you can't. If he tells you your kids are not going to be touched by God or your grandkids, that's a sure sign that they are already being touched by your God. All he wants you to do is quit believing. Quit believing that God's doing it. See, in your arena, you are the gate. You are the gate that lets God into your situation, into your family, into your finance, into our community. These people don't understand, some of them, most of them, that this food is only a doorway to them for God. We anoint the food. It's anointed and it goes out into their homes and that anointing begins to destroy yokes and lift burdens. And now we've been decreeing they're coming from the north, the south. And we've been putting that decree out that they are coming. What we're doing is we're taking authority over the powers of darkness, over the people that are supposed to be in our arena, and we're helping them fight, fight, fight. But the Word of God, as we renew, you go on, and it says that they was stony ground. You know, I got a big rock in my backyard above my pool. And when it gets dry, that sucker, that grass dies on it where the rock is. Unless I go water it. Now, I have sprayed water on it because I didn't want it brown, you know. That rock's been there year after year. Go up there, turn a little sprinkler on, you know. And when it gets dry, and keep the grass. How many knows we water the Word that way? When things feel dry, when things feel like it ain't working, we begin to praise God like we did, and then we begin to confess over the Word of God, and then all of that dry feeling leaves. You're watering the Word. But you know, that in that place, that grass won't grow without some water. You know, and the stony ground Jesus was talking about in there was those that hear the Word of God, and the heart is stony ground. What that means is there's the Word of God, they don't let the Word of God take root in the heart. So therefore, there's no realization of the realness of the victory that they're trying to bleed for from here. But the Word of God, when you meditated on it day and night concerning your thing, see, look, worry is meditating on the wrong thing. People that worry, they're not worrying, they're meditating. They're meditating on, oh, I ain't going to have enough money. Oh, that cancer is going to kill us. Oh, that COVID's coming back. Oh, that new strain. And then they turn on the TV and they just back up. They just back up the thoughts. They just go ahead and compound the thoughts, you know, of all of that. And then they say, oh, it's spread all over everywhere. You know, God, I heard the Holy Spirit one time and he said, quit singing to yourself. Nobody knows the troubles I have. Oh, we could get on that train and get us a mandolin and, you know, get us whatever that other one is. You can get on that train and you can just ride that train long as you want to. And it's what Monty taught us this morning. It's what if. What if it don't? I don't know if it will. I don't know. That's stony ground. That's ground that the Word has not got in deep. And the way that you do it is stop digging it up. Stop saying that stuff. Meditate on the Word of God. Then you've got the thorny ground. That's where the cares, I mean, you done went past now. You're past that stony ground. You're like, I'm going to do it this time in Jesus' name. I'm going to speak to that now. I'm going to believe. Now you went over the stony ground. Now you're in the thorny ground. And I'm going to love my wife as Christ so loved the church. And then you come in and she's in the flesh. You've made up your mind, but God, you're going to love your wife, praise God, but you're deep enough to where it's conditional. She better not get in the flesh, man. I'm trying to love you like Christ, you know. But you know, when you get on into the good ground in that, now you're like, I don't care what she acts like. I'm going to love her. I don't care if she backslides and busts hell wide open. I'm going to love her all the way to hell. That's good ground. Now, you know, I mean, you do that with your finances. You do that with your emotions. You're not supposed to be emotionally led in your life. God's got emotions, and we're given emotions because we're created in the image and likeness of God. But God's not moved by need on this earth. God's moved by love. God's moved by compassion. God is moved by faith. That is why we get people to serving Jesus, and we get them in the faith, and we teach them how to believe God, how to pray, how to fast, how to walk, how to endure. I put it on Facebook. I said, you know, there's a lot of Alabama and Auburn fans out there. Millions of them. I got some of y'all in here. And boy, I mean, when it comes game time, when it comes, their adrenaline just, I mean, they're anticipating. They got a passion for it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they got a passion. When Alabama used to come on, I would leave my house because Teresa's playing the game with them. She's up in there jumping up, hitting the ceiling fan. Run, run, run. I mean, I thought if she could get that ball, she could win for them. So I used to get out of the house. I'd go to my shop. I can hear who wins all the way at my shop, you know. But I put it on Facebook. I put it on there, and I said, you know, I said, when it comes down, I said, if we had as much passion as we do for games and sports and our work and, you know, and all of these things, if we had as much passion for Jesus and the church, the churches would be packed. And then I went on, not trying to get on to nobody. I said, I put it on Facebook. I said, in all, there's nothing wrong with any of it, but it's got to be put in its place. See, when we put Jesus, when we put the Word, you know, first place and final authority, what that means is the doctor gives you a bad report in your body. The first thing you do is don't leave and call everybody, I'm dying. Oh, my life is over. It just blah, blah, blah. No, the first thing you do is you tell God, God, your Word says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. That's first place. And then when the doctor says it's getting worse, you look and you say, nope, I'm blessed. I'm blessed going in. Blessed is the fruit of my body. That's final authority. You turn to it first, and you know the results is going to end up that it's going to dry up because Jesus taught us over there in Mark. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it. Told somebody one time, God said He was going to give me a house. And I thought He would give it to me in about 3 weeks. That's what I felt like. I wanted it. I wanted a house. I wanted a brick house. I wanted a brick house because I was always scared of storms. And I felt like a brick house would be safer. You know, just it would be, it feels safer. It just feels, but I found out they're just stuck up there with mud. Little bitty things coming out of the wall that holds it up. When I come on up, I'm, you know, in the construction and learn, I thought, oh, man, I could bust that down in a few minutes. Well, anyways, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, I thought 3 weeks. Well, a year goes by. Then, I mean, I'm looking for a mansion for $35,000. That's all I'm going to pay. That, and Teresa brought that up, you know. There was a couple of factors, you know, that had to be factored in. Number one, the house where God wanted us right now was not for sale. They built it for their son. He was in the Army, and he was living out in California, and they were waiting on him to retire and move back home. So they built him this brick house in the 70s. And so it wasn't for sale. People have tried to buy it, and blah, 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 and it wasn't for sale. Well, the husband died. The son said he ain't never coming back. Now, she ain't put it up for sale, but I found a for sale sign in the front yard where somebody was trying to sell it out from under after he died. And so I found the for sale sign, and I ended up finding who she was down in Birmingham. She lived in Birmingham. Well, son, I just have decided to sell it. I said, I know what it's mine. Well, you know, I said, what you want? $110,000. I've about fainted. I'm like, God, man, 35 is what I... God, this is all I can afford. This is all I can afford. See, look, you got to get out of all of that. God's not asking you to afford yourself. God is telling you, I have plans for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, I know my plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are good and not evil, that you would have hope for your future and hope and an expected end. I mean a good future, hallelujah. And so I just surrendered that limit. I just told God, here's this ticket that I couldn't have my house for. I'm trading my sorrows right. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down. But you got to trade it in. Just trade it in. Trade your doubt for faith. Trade your limits and say, God, I'm going to unlimit you in my life, God. God, I'm going to take the limits off of you, God. God, you are able to do. See, renew your mind to the Word of God so that you can think like God thinks. God looks and He says, God, it's dark out there. I don't like that. So He sent the Holy Spirit over the darkness and He said, light be, and light was. And all through Genesis, God said, God said, God said, God said. And somebody told me one time, they said, well, that's God said. I said, yeah, but God said, as He is, so are we. God said in His Word in Proverbs 29 that Monty brought out, death and life, my house is in my tongue or it's not in my tongue. And so, anyways, I begin to decree a thing. I begin to decree. And one thing that I begin to do, and you have to begin to do, is when you're looking for the desires of your heart that God has put in your heart, don't move away from God with it. There was a certain arena. We drove 40 minutes to church. I couldn't afford to go to church when I first started. You hear what I'm telling you? I could not afford gas to drive to church when I first started. But I had to renew my mind, and God said, yeah, I'll supply all of your... Well, I went on that. I run with that. I thought, blood of God, He said He'd supply. Then if He has to talk to somebody at church or whatever, God... And you know what? It wasn't too long, Johnny, I could buy people's gas going to church. But I began to look. I told God, I said, God, now I'm going to believe that you're not going to take me too far. I didn't want to drive from Florida to the church. See, because I knew the will of God was for me to be at that church. So I knew that God was going to, but I had to make sure in my heart, I said, God, I'm not going to let the things that You give me become a curse to me. I'm not going to look too far off from Your will, from where You've got me in the workplace and this and that. And I thought, glory to God, the way my business is, Blountsville is central to my whole business. Blountsville is closer. I could only have to drive 20 minutes. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not saying it's Your will because You ain't showed me the address, but God, I'm going to stay in the arena that You have put me in right now. I'm not going to get outside of that. So don't let things move you out of the will of God. I would not take a house in Springville. I would not take a house down yonder in Rimlap. I would not take a house up in Coleman or Abbotville. I was not willing because I didn't feel that that was the will of God. Well, the will of God was I'm 7 minutes from here in a brick house. I had almost 3 acres of land where I lived and everybody lived around me, and I'm a country boy, and so I just like to stay outside a lot of times. You know, if I wanted to go without a shirt, I can. Over there, I couldn't, man. I mean, I can't go outside, you know. But anyways, I wanted seclusion. How many knows there's nothing wrong with that? But if you want, I don't know how people live in these condos right beside each other. Hey, you hear me? Yeah, what you need? They ain't even outside. They have a push mower. They go in between the houses, and it's a tight fit to mowing their yards. Nothing wrong with that. That's what you want. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? I decreed it. And I'm talking about in about the fifth year, I wore Teresa out, man. I mean, we driving every back road in Blount County around Blountville looking. I mean, you know, just, and things would fall through that I was trying to make happen. I would give them to the Lord, and I would say, God, I want this land with a hole in it. I don't care where the hole goes, at least we're moving. Because Teresa's over, I'm telling you, I'm fed up. I'm moving with God or without God. And I'm like, oh my God, Lord. Here, man, she's got me under pressure here, Lord. I mean, you know, and He kept on waiting. And I thought, don't even know how she is. She's way better. She's moving with or without God. That's not real good. In other words, we were living in hardship with people and drugs around us. And I mean, I'm not going into all of that. I mean, we were living in hardship. Travis couldn't go outside when everybody had their friends over partying and cussing and all that, so he was bound to house, to home. Well, anyways, I'm like, oh, Jesus. Well, 7 years older, she quit going. I'm not riding around tomorrow. I'm done with that riding around. I'm like, I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. But God, I'd ride by myself. I just keep on looking. I'd keep on looking. I'd be like, well, one of these roads, one day something's coming up for sale that ain't been there last, could be next week. So I'm hitting it again, hitting it again. 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. I mean, I thought, glory to God. I asked God for a house back there. When I asked him for it, I received it, according to Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire. So somebody asked me, they said, hey, you've been saying you're getting a house this about 4 or 5 years. And they said, where's it at? No, they said, have you got it? And I said, yeah, I got it. Where's it at? Well, it ain't got here yet. They'd be like, how did you get it? I said, by faith. They're like, well, ain't that dumb? You say you've already got a house. You ain't been walking in it. You're not living in it. And you say you got it. I said, that's what Jesus said. I said, you must not know Jesus. I said, because Jesus don't make no sense to me. Coming. I said, he tells me to believe him for something. And then all these years later, I still know I got it. It just ain't got in it yet. Well, you know what? When I got this and wasn't nobody there, praise God, there, and I had that, and I thought, glory to God, and I walked on it, and I'm looking on the inside. I walked on it. I went in the house. I thought, oh, yeah, God has, this one's got to be mine. There's some Gothic people lives here. You know, if you think you want to be Gothic, you know, you start black stuff. Just black. Everything's black. Like, man, I got bright light bulbs in my house. Boof! I mean, when you turn it on, the roach buds go, ah! They can't take light, man. Them roach buds getting out of there, man. We ain't got no roach bugs, but, I mean, we have had before, and that's what they do. I mean, the roach bugs, they try to sneak out. They try to sneak out, and you, boof! They gone, hallelujah. Well, I'm there, and I said, this is my house. And I walked up there, and they was an old well there. And when I got to that old well, God, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can draw a line in the sand. He said, this belongs to you. He said, y'all will live here. Praise God. And I reached down there and draw a line. And I said, Satan, did you hear me? God just told me, draw a line. And you're not welcome on this land. This land belongs to God now. And now I'm taking it over from y'all heathens. Well, my neighbors told me, says some of the worst people live there they ever lived close to in their life. Partied all the time. Boy, I mean, just give them a, you know, all the time. He told me about a year into it, he said, Mr. Weston, he said, if you ever need anything, he's a farmer. Got all kinds of tractors and all kinds of stuff. And I'm cleaning off. He told me, you're entertaining us. I said, no, I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm trying to get my yard pretty down there. I'm working day and night nearly, you know. And anyways, he told me, he said, if there's anything up here that you need, he said, you don't even have to ask me. He said, you just come up here and you just get what you need. He said, tractors, whatever you need. He said, here they are. Everything I got is at your disposal. I never use nothing. I mean, I'd rather believe you. I'd be like Monty. I could have called him up. Oh, I need that big four-wheel drive tractor with a front-end loader. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. But I didn't have it. So I'm like, well, glory to God. If he's got one, I can get one. Why would I want to go? I mean, I'll have to take it back. I would rather get me one and me keep it. You know, so believe God. Now, what I'm telling you is whatever God has got for you, don't you look at your circumstances, your body, your physical, your what you feel weak and all of that and determine whether God can do anything for you. You walk by faith and not by sight. You go declaring, I'm strong in the Lord. There's days I feel physically weak. There's days I feel physically weak. You know, in my mind will tell me, well, it's because you had open heart surgery and it's just going to get worse and worse. You're getting on up to nearly 60 and you're going to be like that. I don't go hang around jacks with these retired folk. These retired men, they jacks and other places. Good Lord, you'll leave. I mean, you can go, you go get you a good breakfast. You're feeling good. Do you listen to them for 30 minutes? They're retired and washed up. One of them told me the other day, he said, "Hey, come on to speed now up there. We're the has-beens." I told Travis, I said, "I'm not going up there with them has-beens." That's what they call themselves. Come on up there. We all know them, you know, and they're Christians. And I'm like, Jesus. I told Travis, I said, "I'm not confessing that." Come on up here. We're the, called her name, the has-beens. I said, "Thank you for the invite. Thank you. Gonna buy me some breakfast, you know. I don't want that breakfast. I'll just fast that day, and because the spiritual aspect of that breakfast is not gonna be good. Why? Because I'm making plans to fail. You don't make no plans to fail." Somebody asked me here a while back, "You're going to ever retire from preaching?" I said, "I can't find it in the Bible where you retire from preaching." They said, "I'm not concerned about what everybody else does." I said, "You know, that's none of my business, you know. If all of them retires, fine. I'm keeping my mind in my business." I said, "But I can't find it in the Bible where I retire from being a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "I can't find it in the Bible where you retire from being a witness for Jesus Christ. I can't find it where you get too old, you know, to believe God for a boat if you want a boat." Went to a guy that we were on the job the other day, and guy called me and he said, "Hey, you did some work for so-and-so, God's doors." He said, "You did some work for so-and-so," and he said, "I bought an operator at Lowe's or whatever." He said, "How much you get to install it?" And I told him how much it was. And he said, "Oh, I can't afford that. And so I'm standing there, you know, and I waited just a second. I said, "Well, how much can you pay?" I said, "How much can you pay?" "Well, I'm on a fixed income. I could probably save some money next month." I said, "Oh, how much can you pay right now?" He told me how much he could pay, and I said, "Well, text me your address." I said, I'll come over there and look at it, you know. And he said, "Okay." So he texted me the address. Well, I pulled the address up, and it's right on our way nearly back home. You know, and so I told Travis, I said, "We got this one more stop and everything." And he heard me, and he said, "Dad, you're letting them choose what to pay. Is that what that was?" And I said, "Well, kind of. And so anyways, we get over there, and we go. So I told the dude, I said, "Just text me your address." He said, "So are you agreeing with that? Are you? I said, "Well, yeah, I'm agreeing with it, man. I'm, you know, if that's all you can pay, that's fine. You need your opener done, you know, and all that." Well, he goes on then there, you know, now if you don't renew your mind, you're like, "Oh, God, I got $50 an hour this truck is costing me. You know, I mean, I can't afford to go over there. I can't afford to give them $20, Jenny. I can't afford, they don't deserve." I mean, Satan will tell you everything not to obey God. Why you can't give somebody your last $5. Why you can't give their last $2 in an offering. Why you can't give to the poor, but because you're lending to the Lord. He'll repay you, the Bible says. Well, we get over there, you know, and I'm down there, I'm doing the odd Travis and EMA whooping that thing together. We're there about 30 minutes. I mean, we did this thing about 30 minutes. That's longer, really, than it took us. Well, anyways, I'm down there and said something. I said, "Well, you know, the Lord, He always provides. I don't know if He's a Christian or not." I said, "The Lord always provides. He provides." And he said, "Oh, yeah, the Lord, He does. He takes." And so we got done, you know, and he's fixing to go out, and he said, "Is it going to be 125? And I stood up and I said, "I believe Jesus wants me to do it, give it to you." I said, "I believe Jesus." He said, "Jesus?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you know, the Lord does say He'll supply all of our needs, but not our wants." And I thought, that's a doctrine of demon. I thought, but he's 80-something. I ain't got time to explain. He's okay. Just keep believing that. It's all right, you know. I didn't really feel led. And I told Travis, I said, "There's that doctrine again. He'll supply all my need. Need. I mean need. They'll get down and go, need." They're making an example of the word need. I looked the word need up. You know what it said? Wants. I went to the Greek meaning of that word before it was translated. He says, I will supply all of your wants according to my riches in glory through Christ Jesus. All of your wants. See, if we want God more than we want things, things can't have us, He will give us natural things to enjoy. The Bible says that He give us all things richly to enjoy. All things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. And so I told that, when I told him Jesus, I mean, tears come in his eyes. I got a big old, he was a little fat hug. He's a little heavy like me. I think I've gained 6 pounds, man. Every time I go to fast, I'm starving. Boy, on the day before I'm going to fast, I load up till bedtime. I'm like, I'm not going to suffer at least till 12:30. You know, get just slap full before you go to bed. You're so miserable. You know you're fasting the next day. You're loading up. Praise the Lord. But you know what I found? I found that people that go forth and they get the desires of God. See, look, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you a desire to be well. He'll give you a desire to be free. He'll give you a desire to have a nice car. He'll give you the desire. He'll give you a desire to have something you and your kids and grandkids can enjoy together. I mean, I built 3 ponds, and I'm over there the other day, and I'm like, I'm going to sell that dozer. And Teresa, don't sell that dozer. She said, don't sell that dozer. I said, I'm done with that dozer. She said, I know you better than you know yourself. She said, you'll just have to go get another dozer because you're not through. I said, I'm through. Well, I'm going down through there, and I thought, man, that track hoe, it quit here. And I looked, and I thought, man, this would be a bigger pond than the other one. And I thought, but God, I'm not through. I'm not through. I took my grandkids down there, man, and I mean, Aubrey caught a huge brim. And Aiden, I hooked a bass. About 3 pounds, I hooked it. Aiden didn't know I hooked it. He just sick, you know. And I said, yeah, old Papa's rod. That bass is on there, boy. He got that rod and he went, I said, you got one, reel it in. He's going, uh-huh. Boy, I'm having a blast. I thank God I built that pun. I built that pun and dreamed of taking my grandkids down there fishing. I finished that. Teresa, she's like, you never spend no time. I said, listen, I'm working on our future. I'm working on our future. She'd say, we're blessed. I'd say, we're blessed. We're blessed going in, blessed going out. I mean, you know, and I mean, she's going through a great trial with this, you know. But I got to be like Jesus. I'm a diehard. I'm not going to die easy. You know, I'm not even going to die. I'm going forward with this, and I'm going to finish this. And now I can go home and take a nap, and she'll tell me something. You got to stop this. I'm like, stop what? You're coming home and I've got stuff to do. And I said, get over here and let's take a nap. Let's take a nap. She's like, you're going to have to stop this now. You're getting me in a rut, a routine of this. And I'm like, you want a nap. Shut up. Get over there. Let's take a nap. Well, I'm like, now 5 years ago, it's just like, please come home, please come home. And now I'm home, baby. The trial's over, baby, I'm home. Can't you find you something to do? Woo, 39 years, I'm still enjoying it. Praise God, still enjoying it, hallelujah. But you know what? The thing about it is, I get bored when I'm not believing God. He goes to get boring. I get bored. Maybe that's why a lot of Christians are bored. Maybe they're not believing God. Maybe they just need to stir up some things on the inside. Let me believe God for my healing. Lord God, I know I'm 78, but God, man, Caleb was 80 and said, God, give me the mountain. Don't stop at 78. Don't stop believing at 80. We're not to be conformed to this world, right? The world gives up and just washed up, seemingly, some of them, praise God. One of my brothers told one of my brothers, and he said, I'm already 63. I said, you're only 63. Already and only is two different things. Already is a washed up. You're only is only. Yeah, man. Every time I think, man, you're 58, I look at somebody that's 90 and I say, woo, I'm headed down that path. Woo, yeah. Called a guy, told a guy, now I'm an early guy. I like to get to work early. I like to get done early. I like to get, you know, I like early, you know. And so I called him up and he, hey, son, you can't come early. I said, what? I said, we start at 7. He said, well, I got something I got to do. I won't be back till about 9:30, son. He said, I need you to be there at 9:30. I'm thinking, well, I don't reckon you own this business. I said, that's fine. So I have to impatiently wait around an hour and a half to shop. Oh, man, that's hard. So finally, I get up. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I take off down there. Here he gets out, and he carried me down a flight of stairs. I said, let me ask you something. I said, why did you have to wait? You're up. Where you been? He said, son, 3 days a week I go to the gym. He's about 80 years old, 81 or 2. He said, 3 days a week I go to the gym. I said, what you go to the gym for? I'm thinking, why would you want to go to the gym? You got these stairs and all this here, you know. He stopped and turned around. I followed him down there. He turned around. He said, because my body ain't going to tell me what to do, son. My body's not going to tell me. So he goes and he tortures his body. That's torture to me. Going to the gym's torture. Teresa, we need to sign in. I said, I'm not going to pay to get tortured. I mean, my God, you got to pay somebody to go lift them dumbbells? Dumbbells. Realize what they are. Dumbbells. Praise. I need to work out. You can see it, man. I mean... It's all this fasting. I blowed up, man. I mean, that's what it is. I'm blaming it on fasting. But, you know, I don't make no plans to fail. You can't make plans to fail. You don't make plans to get sick and be washed up. This lady told me one time, she's an elderly lady. She said, son, how old are you? And I said, I'm 50-something, whatever it was. She said, are you thinking about ever retiring? I said, yeah, but I'm only 50-something, man. Like that. And she said, well, look, son. She said, don't wait till you get old like me and retire. You just want to stay home. I thought, well, I'm not you, you know. And so I thought about it. I left and I thought, black God, I'm never going to retire, so I might as well have fun all the way. All the way. Now I'm going back out of doing God's door and give it all to Travis. He's not in a hurry. He's pretty content right now. That phone will drive you to Jesus. That sucker will drive you to Jesus. That's what it's meant to do. God's like, I'm going to give you a cell phone. There wasn't even no cell phones. He didn't tell me that. But he's thinking, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to give him a cell phone in the mid-90s. And then he's really going to have to quit lying. He's going to have to tell him what he's going to do, when he's going to do it. Oh, I was a little liar back then. And so he took that phone, and then he took all of that and began to let me work out the salvation. See, the salvation of God on the inside of you, is the Bible says it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's Him working in you to be healed. It's Him working in you to be blessed. It's Him working in you to give. It's not you. We're not by nature givers. A lot, most people ain't. But the nature of God is giving. And it brings a harvest, praise God. I didn't realize I'm taking up the ladies' time. So now I've got my second shift start. My two grandkids, because Aiden's so happy he wants everybody to praise God about it. Did you hear him? I'm happy because it's Women's Day. What he should have said is, I get to go on with Pawpaw. He goes to sleep. Teresa put a doorknob on with keys. She locked the bedroom door. They're not going in the bedroom anymore. Praise God. So now the second shift starts, you know. You got to have faith to take care of them grandkids. I mean, praise God. They'll pull it over you if you let them, praise God. But we got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, right? Praise God. So believe God. Turn the TV off. That TV is so depressing these days. Praise God, all this, all the election stuff. We don't care about all that. We're going to the polls. We voting victory. That's what we're going to do, praise God. Turn it off to where if it's not feeding your spirit, man, praise God. Meditate on God's word. Dream. Dream about what you want in the future. Dream about what you're going to do and then determine to go do it, praise God. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know how to get there. You're not even going to know when you get there, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you today. We thank you, Father God.